Hello, and welcome back to the Urology Care Podcast, the official podcast of the Urology Care Foundation. Our guest today is Dr. Neil Shore, and he is here to talk about the new emerging genetic and biomarker testing and treatment options for bladder cancer. Dr. Shore, thank you for taking time out of your day to speak with us on today's topic of genetic testing and emerging treatments for bladder cancer. We're excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here with you.
So Dr. Shore, can you tell us about yourself and how you hope others may benefit from listening to our talk?
Well, yes, I've been a practicing urologist since 1990. I have spent the bulk of my career as a urologist focusing on GU oncology, which is the study of cancer in prostate, bladder, and kidney-related malignancies. I've been doing clinical research. I've now done over 400 clinical trials in our research facility called Carolina Urologic Research Center. And I have focused on biomarkers, genetic testing, molecular testing, and systemic therapies to help our patients with both newly diagnosed GU oncologic cancers as well as advanced. And today I think we're going to focus on bladder cancer.
Yes, thank you. So can you start by talking about what is bladder cancer and how common it is?
Bladder cancer is the development of cellular changes that are really the machinery has gone awry. It's run amok. And that is a sort of a consistency of cancer cells. And in particularly in bladder cancer, it's notable for it's a type of the cell within the lining of the bladder called the transitional cell or the urothelial cell. What a lot of physicians forget and patients don't know is that tobacco exposure is a leading cause of bladder cancer. In fact, the number one cause of cancer related to a smoking tobacco history is lung cancer, and number two is bladder cancer. There are other environmental toxicities or exposures which increase our risk of bladder cancer, petrochemical exposure, gasoline-type products, asbestos, naphthalene dyes, and sometimes there's a hereditary component for our patients that can increase their risk of developing cancers. A bladder cancer is depending upon where you look in the country and even by country. Some countries it can vary and by regions of the world, but it can be usually the somewhere in the top 10 of the top 10 cancers. It's usually somewhere in the middle. Not as common as, say, you know, lung or prostate or breast cancer, but nonetheless, it affects many, many people. It tends to affect more men than women. It tends to affect an elderly population if we define elderly as, you know, 60 or higher or 65 and higher, but occasionally we can see it in even younger patients.
Thank you for that explanation. So what is genetic and biomarker testing?
First, let me go with the biomarker testing. You know, we're always hoping that we can get an analysis of either coming from a blood test or a urine test. We call that a biomarker. Sometimes it can come from the actual part of the body or what we call the tissue. Oftentimes that can be, you know, biopsying of the organ you're thinking about. In this case, it would be the bladder. So scraping out something, you know, with a scope by going in through the urethra, frequently or mostly that's done under some level of anesthesia. And so we get that, you know, biopsy specimen or the tissue, and we have our pathology experts look at that under the microscope. Now, wouldn't it be great if we were able to just get a simple urine test in the office, the clinic, that could tell us 100% of the time cancer, no cancer, or even a blood test that told us cancer, no cancer. That would prevent the need to look inside and take a, you know, an instrument, we call it a cystoscope, and look inside, you know, the urethra into the bladder. And I think most patients would love that, right? Because we'd avoid that invasive procedure. Unfortunately, the biomarker tests that we have, we use blood tests, we use urine tests, mostly urine-based tests, are just not that sensitive that they give us 100% certainty. And we've worked over the decades looking at different ones, and there's a whole panel of them. And they have advantages and disadvantages, but there's just nothing yet that says, if you just get this test, we'll know with 100% certainty, yes or no. But they're still helpful to a certain degree. Now, genetic testing is different. The biomarkers are looking at for molecular changes in urine or in blood-based testing that are molecules that are telling us there's some abnormal cellular proliferation consistent with a cancer. Genetic testing is looking at, you know, gene alterations that we either inherited from our parents, so they're hereditary, they come from, you know, the zygote, the sperm and the egg that make up your initial being, as opposed to gene alterations or gene changes in the tumor tissue itself. That's called acquired. Sometimes you'll hear literature will say acquired is somatic and inherited is germline. But the genes, and the genes are part of the specific, ultimately create the proteins that are come from our DNA, and they are responsible for the cellular growth. So it's sometimes is a little complicated, but genetic markers and biomarkers are different, and they can be complementary to help us better understand how to either do a diagnostic test or potentially a therapy.
Why is genetic testing for bladder cancer so important?
Well, we're really still at some very early stages. We've made perhaps greater advances in our understanding of the role of genetic testing in prostate cancer, which is part of that GU oncology concept that I mentioned. But bladder is very important. And we do find some genetic changes right now that can tell us, oh, wow, you have this uncommon yet a notable change that we can take advantage of. Meaning you have a specific type of genetic change where we can put you into a very cutting edge clinical trial that only is addressing someone with your specific genetic change. Or we have new therapies that have been approved specifically for your genetic change. And we oftentimes describe that as personalized or precision or tailored therapy.
Okay, thank you. How can genetic testing timing and waiting for the test results help with treatment choices as they're discussing with their physician?
Yeah, that dovetails to my earlier answer that I just said. If you have a certain type of a genetic change, for example, one gene alteration known as the FGFR, 2 years ago, we had the approval. Actually, I think it's now coming up on 3 years. The approval of an oral bladder cancer medication that is specific for patients who have what is described as the FGFR mutation. And when those patients have that FGFR mutation, there's now an FDA, Medicare-covered, FDA-approved therapy for patients specifically who have the FGFR mutation. And it's right now approved for patients who have advanced bladder cancer. So it creates additional options for patients, or what we sometimes call, it has the finding of doing the genetic testing creates clinical utility, something that's actionable for the physicians to offer a patient. So right now, we also have other findings, in particularly with genetic testing, which can be helpful in a physician discussing with a patient with newly diagnosed or early stage bladder to late stage bladder cancer for very specific clinical trials when there are genetic or gene alterations found, and then personalized therapy if indeed there are drugs that have been approved by FDA.
could you go a little bit more into detail about which patients would benefit the most from this type of testing for bladder cancer? Is it just those who have a family history of bladder cancer, or could you provide some more information about that?
So there's a lot of different answers. Number one, I mentioned the FGFR. These are patients, if they have the bladder cancer that's spread outside the bladder, if they've had their bladder removed, or if they haven't had their bladder removed, and they have progressed on a prior exposure to either chemotherapy or an immunotherapy, they can now benefit from this oral medication designed for patients who have FGFR alterations. And this medicine is called erdafitinib. There are other gene alterations that can be of benefit to place patients into certain types of clinical trials. Some patients have what are known as HRR mutations, which is an abbreviation for homologous recombinant repair gene alterations. The drugs that work for patients who have these types of alterations are called PARP inhibitors. PARP inhibitors have now been approved in advanced breast cancer, ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, and prostate cancer. So we're doing clinical studies in bladder cancer now too. There are other findings, such as for the example of what's called TMB, or tumor mutational burden. And these patients, if they have that finding, may benefit greatly from immunotherapy, the class of drugs known as checkpoint inhibitors or PD blockers. There, it goes on, and it's very exciting because we now have an ability to consider a more tailored, precision-based approach for our patients with different forms of bladder cancer.
And who actually administers this testing, and what are the next steps for a patient who decides to take part in this type of testing?
Any physician who is dedicated to taking care of bladder cancer can order these tests, and it typically will end up being urologists and medical oncologists. And the genetic testing is invariably tissue-based, or what we sometimes call next-generation sequencing. I'm very aware that in medicine, we use a lot of long polysyllabic words with lots of, you know, acronyms. And I always hope that that doesn't become too daunting or confusing to patients. But very simply, the tissue was sent to very sophisticated labs, the biopsy retained material, and then it usually takes about 2 weeks or so to get the material back and a report. There are many different companies now that are doing this. And that's actually a good thing because it's hopefully driven down the cost of this analysis.
How can patients and caregivers better prepare themselves for talking with their doctor about these types of testing?
Yeah, I think that's a very important question for patients. Genetic testing in all areas of cancer, and now certainly within bladder cancer, is becoming front and center. And a lot of my colleagues who have been, you know, very busy and may not have received recent training are now sort of coming up to speed. And some may not be because they're just so busy and they haven't had the opportunity to comprehend and digest it all. So I think a patient should be saying, "Doctor, I have this diagnosis of X type of cancer," in our case, our discussion, bladder cancer, and say, "Am I getting all of the most up-to-date molecular testing and genetic testing? What are my options? How can it help improve my ability to review the full toolbox of options, or what we call the armamentarium of therapeutic decisions?" And, you know, I think, you know, to be as fully knowledgeable gives us the best opportunity for either entering a clinical trial or an approved therapy. So it's very important for patients and their families and caregivers to say, "Have we exhausted all of the best tests to make the best decision about a therapy?"
Thank you. That was great advice. Do you have any final thoughts you would like to share about genetic testing for bladder cancer?
We've learned a great deal in the last few years, thanks to many, you know, wonderful organizations, the AUA, the Bladder Cancer Advocacy Network, the SUO, a lot of great work, but we're still, you know, in the beginning, and we're going to learn more. I mentioned a few of the gene alterations. Time hasn't allowed me to go through a few more that I'm aware of, but I can tell you with each year in bladder cancer and other cancers, we learn so much more. And ultimately, the goal is to be able to understand specific gene alterations to individuals so we can really tailor our therapy so it doesn't need to be a one-size-fits-all.
Dr. Shore, thank you so much for your knowledge and expertise on this topic. We're very thankful to have you be a part of this podcast today.
Thank you very much.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Urology Care Foundation, the official foundation of the American Urological Association. For more information on today's topic and for all things urology health, visit urologyhealth.org. Patient resources provided by the generous support of Janssen Oncology.